Beloved Bhagwan, on one occasion, as Joshu was receiving new arrivals in his monastery, he asked one of them, "Have you been here before?" "Yes," the monk replied. "Help yourself to a cup of tea," Joshu said to him. Then he turned to another new arrival and said, "Have you been here before?" "No, Your Reverence," the visitor replied. "This is my first visit here." Joshu said to him, "Help yourself to a cup of tea." The prior of the monastery took Joshu aside and said, "One had been here before, and you gave him a cup of tea. The other had not been here, and you also gave him a cup of tea. What is the meaning of this?" Joshu called out loudly, "Prior!" "Yes," the prior replied. "Help yourself to a cup of tea," instructed Joshu.
Manisha, the way of Zen is very light. Very weightless. It expresses itself in the simplest way. But just because of that, millions of people who think themselves intelligent misunderstand it. The obviousness, the simplicity, becomes a barrier to them. The mind is always interested in the impossible. It has to be understood why mind is always interested in the impossible. Because the impossible can never be achieved. And mind will go on living, gathering more and more forces, taking you farther and farther away from yourself. Because the impossible cannot be achieved, it is a great victory of the mind. The mind avoids the obvious and the simple, because they are not only achievable, they are already achieved. So it is a very political strategy, a diplomatic effort on the part of the mind not to let you see the obvious. The Buddha, that is you. In this simple anecdote, you laughed as if it is just a joke. It says everything that is needed to be said . It contains the whole essence of Zen. But you laughed because you did not understand its implications. Sometimes one laughs because he does not understand. Sometimes one laughs because he understands. Sometimes one laughs just to hide the fact that he has not understood. You laughed because it looks like a joke, but it only looks like a joke. It is the whole philosophy of Zen. Now let me read you with its implications. On one occasion, as Josu was receiving new arrivals in his monastery, he asked one of them, "Have you been here before?" Small things to be noted. One, the master himself is at the reception desk receiving new arrivals. Zen is an effort to look into your potentialities. Why waste time? Not even few moments. So the master is receiving new arrivals on the gate of the monastery. In the first encounter with the new arrivals, it will be determined whether he is worthwhile to work upon or just let him have a cup of tea and move on. And the question that he asks does not mean what you think it means. Have you been here before? He is not talking about the ordinary here. He is talking about the ultimate here. It is not concerned with the place, the monastery, or Josu. It is concerned with a meditative state where time ceases and only nowness remains, where space disappears and only here-ness is left behind. This now and here, these two words contain the whole approach of Zen. If you can be now and here, nothing else has to be done. Every door of existential mystery will be opened unto you. So when a man like Josu asks, "Have you been here before?" Don't misunderstand him. He is not talking about the place. He is talking about spacelessness, timelessness. Have you ever been in deep meditation? That is what he is asking. Yes, the monk said. Help yourself to a cup of tea. The monk has understood the meaning of here. It is not that he has been here to this monastery before. It simply means he has known the taste of here-ness. A simple yes implies a vast meaning that I am not a newcomer, don't count me into the new arrivals. I have been here, where else I can be? But it is not said so explicitly. That is the beauty of Zen, that it leaves the most important part to be discovered by you. When the monk says yes, he is also saying through his eyes and through his gestures that what kind of a question you are asking. Where else I can be? Everybody is here. Wherever he is, it doesn't matter. Here is the only point where you can be. His yes is not to be misunderstood. He does not mean that he has been to this place. He says, I have been here always. Where else I can be? With a great respectfulness, Joseph said, help yourself to a cup of tea. A cup of tea in Zen is not the same as it is anywhere else in the world. A cup of tea is the greatest reception a Zen master can give to you. The cup of tea represents awareness, because after drinking tea you cannot go to sleep. Hence tea became one of the most important symbols of awareness, of meditation. Have a cup of tea does not simply mean that have a cup of tea. Certainly, the tea is offered, but with the understanding that the cup is full of awareness. A cup of tea has been used in many ways by the Zen masters. A professor of philosophy reached to Josu He had many questions in his mind. Many complicated answers which he has borrowed from all scriptures and philosophical systems. And coming up to the mountain, he was perspiring, looked a little tired. Josu received him and told him, "You are tired, just wait, I will prepare a cup of tea for you." "It is not time for tea, otherwise tea would have been served immediately. I will prepare specially, you just wait and rest." And Josu prepared the tea, brought the tea, gave the cup and saucer into the hands of the professor, and from the kettle started pouring tea and went on pouring to the very brink. The professor watched and then he saw that now if any more tea is poured in, it will start flowing out. But he still waited till the cup was full and the saucer was also full. Then he could not contain. He said, "Wait, what are you doing? Now my cup and saucer cannot contain a single drop of tea." Josu said, "Have you ever asked the same question about your mind? Is there any space, empty space, where even a drop of tea can manage? You are too full of thoughts. So many answers, so many questions. You have read too much. You are too learned to become enlightened." This cup of tea is simply symbolic. I wanted to show you that before you can ask any question to me, I should make the position clear. You have to be empty, otherwise you have to excuse me, I cannot answer. You don't have the space to receive it. Josu used the cup of tea in different situations. Now he said, "Help yourself to a cup of tea." Josu then turned to another new arrival and said, "Have you been here before?" You may not see the difference in the questions. The first question was, "Have you been here before?" The emphasis was on here. In the second question, the emphasis is on you. Have you been here before? No, Your Reverence, the visitor replied. He is saying, I am no more how I can be here before. They both have understood the difference, although the question looks similar. But they have seen the emphasis of the Master, they are watching his eyes, they are watching his face, they are looking at his hands. To talk to a Zen master is not an ordinary conversation. It is a total being-to-being communion. The first understood well and the second also understood well. He said, no, Your Reverence, but the essential part remains by the side. The essential part is how I can be. I am no more. I have never been. The question does not arise. I have tried to find myself, there is no one. Josu said to him, help yourself to a cup of tea. The prior of the monastery took Josu aside and said, one had been here before and you gave him a cup of tea. The other had not been here and you also gave him a cup of tea. What is the meaning of this? The prior is the head monk of the monastery. He saw a contradiction in it, must be a logical man. He could not see the hidden part that was exchanged between Josu and those two new arrivals. He took Josu aside and ask, what is the meaning of this? You offered both the visitors, although one has visited before and another has not, but your offering the cup of tea is the same. Josu called out loudly, Priyar, yes, the Priyar replied. This is also a very significant method used by Zen. Suddenly to call, when there was no need, when suddenly someone is called, for a moment your thinking stops because the continuity is not there. Mind can function only with a continuity. He is asking that you have offered a cup of tea to different arrivals, to do two different persons the same welcome, I see a contradiction in it. Now he is wanting to know the meaning of this. Rather than giving him the meaning, Josu called out loudly, "Priyar," that is breaking his thinking process, bringing suddenly an awareness. He said, "Yes." The Priyar replied, "Help yourself to a cup of tea. You are also capable of being a little aware once in a while." Instructed Josu, the cup of tea is a symbol of awareness. Zen offers nothing but awareness. And Zen offers awareness to everybody without any distinction. One has been here, one has not been here, one is the head monk of the monastery. But as far as Josu is concerned, he has nothing else to offer than a cup of tea. A cup of tea means Josu can offer only awareness, watchfulness, witnessing. A cup of tea has become, in the Zen circles, one of the most important symbols. So it is not a joke. Josu has, without saying anything about Zen, made it clear to everybody all the three persons concerned that you have come to a man who can only offer a cup of tea. You should not expect anything else. I can teach you awareness. And you are all three capable of it. Even the head monk is capable of it once in a while. One of the Zen monks is reported to have said, every morning while he lived after his enlightenment, the first thing in the morning he will say, "Osho," because he has become enlightened now, an honorable word has to be used. Reverence is a little less than Osho. Reverence only means respect. Osho also means respect, love, gratitude. You may not have thought about, because people don't think about words. Otherwise, strange meanings come out of them. Have you ever thought to respect simply means looking back? Re-spect, looking once again. It simply means that somebody is so beautiful that you have to look again one time more. You cannot just go on without looking again. Out of this, respectfulness has arisen. But Osho contains some more elements, love and gratitude. It is much more than reverence. Reverence is a Christian word and is used for learned bishops, missionaries, priests. Osho cannot be translated correctly as reverence, because it is used only for the enlightened ones, not the learned ones. And the master who used to call every morning, Osho, are you still here? He was asking himself about his own prajins, are you still here? Then have a cup of tea. And his disciples, knowing perfectly well that every morning the first thing he will say to himself, so they kept ready the samovar, making it sound. And they will ask him, that master, why you do this? And he used to say, I am so surprised that existence has given one day again for me. I don't deserve. I am not worthy of it. I have not done anything to deserve another day, another sunrise, and the whole sky and the whole universe. I just want to make it sure that I am here. This beautiful universe one day will be taken away from me. And because he used to answer himself also, first he will say, Osho, are you here? And he will say, yes, sir. Then he will say, then have a cup of tea. This was a monologue. The disciples produced the cup of tea. They loved the master. They loved this small, beautiful approach to the morning, the night is over. It is symbolic of the night in which most of us live the whole life. The morning never comes. A cup of tea declares that the night is over, wake up. Be aware and see the whole beauty of existence. Universe has allowed you one day more. You cannot demand. It is a gift. One day the sun will rise and the roses will blossom, but you will not be there to celebrate this new morning. And there is no way to complain. It is absolutely in the hands of the cosmos. But we have not paid our gratitude even for our life. Do you think there can be anything more precious than life, than consciousness? And existence gives it to you without asking any payment in return. At least you can be thankful. This thankfulness is the only authentic prayer. All other prayers are childish. They are nothing but hidden demands. Just today, Ananda informed me a group of Christian research scholars has been working for many years on the Lord's Prayer . Every Christian has to do the Lord's Prayer, and their whole research has been now exposed to the public. They have found that in the Lord's Prayer, except the word Abba, Father, everything else is fake. Jesus only called Abba. Everything else has been added by other people. Millions of Christians will be shocked. Will be shocked even more because it is the Christian scholars who have found all other words in the Lord's Prayer added by other people. They may not listen to the scholars. most probably they will not. But when Ananda reported to me, I was thinking that just to say Abba, that is the Hebrew for father, is enough. The prayer is complete. Just to relate with existence in a loving relationship, to call the existence Abba, the prayer is finished. What more you can say? You have sown your gratitude. You have sown that you are the source of my being. Hence, Abba is exactly right. But more than that is non-essential commentary. These same scholars, few months before, have come, they have done a tremendous job of research, and they have threatened the whole Christianity with their research. I was thinking that Christians will take any note, but nobody has taken any note. And I am not the Christian, and I have to take notes. They had come to the conclusion that Jesus was not a Virgin Mary's son, fathered by Holy Ghost, frankly speaking, he was really the son of Maryam and Joseph. But to avoid Joseph and to replace Joseph with God, this whole strategy was used. So, working through ancient scriptures, they have found that this is absolutely false. Jesus was not a bastard. But strangely enough, the Christian leaders around the world rather being happy that Jesus was a properly licensed son, they were shocked. He has to be a bastard, otherwise the main stone of foundation will be removed. That is the first miracle, that God Himself, because Holy Ghost and God are one. It is just a trick to talk about Holy Ghost and then in the next sentence say that Holy Ghost and God are one. then why hide God behind Holy Ghost? Why not bring Him directly in the case of making a virgin pregnant? That would look a little awkward to the high position of a God. So a mediator has been found, the Holy Ghost. But if really the Holy Ghost is the father of Jesus, then God can at the most be an uncle. If He is a brother of Holy Ghost, that depends who He is, in what way He is related with Holy Ghost. But one thing is certain, He cannot be father of Jesus. The Bishop of England immediately reacted that the theory of Virgin Mary and Holy Ghost is the very foundation of Christianity, and we cannot change it. And their own researchers are saying that it is just an invention to make Jesus special. Everybody is born out of his father and mother. But to make Jesus special, poor fellow has to be made a bastard. And that is the very foundation of Christianity. The same group of scholars has found that even God is not necessary for Christianity, because there is no evidence of God, neither there is any evidence of Holy Ghost. All that we can say is Jesus and His crucifixion. There is no evidence even of His resurrection. But the problem is, can you find anybody to become a Christian just because Jesus was crucified? The whole religion is finished. God is taken away, the Holy Ghost is taken away, the resurrection is taken away, the virgin birth is taken away, and this makes a strange exposition of Christianity. These things make Christianity. Nothing of them is essential to any religiousness. And the same group again made a statement that all the miracles are fake, then the Pope has to speak. He said that without miracles, Christianity will be finished. We need miracles. Otherwise, what is the difference between an ordinary man and the only begotten Son of God? The difference is, He walks on water, He turns water into wine, He makes dead people alive, He cures and heals. just by touching people. And the Christian scholars group is certainly very honest that all these miracles have been added just to raise Jesus to a special position above humanity. But there is no need for anybody to be above humanity. Only one has to become more aware. One has to become more aware of one's being. In that very awareness, he touches the highest point of consciousness. Everything else is not only childish but absurd. Religion is simply another name of meditation. Anything added to it is absolutely unnecessary. It is rather a hindrance than a help. So Josu's offering a cup of tea to everybody without any distinction. Is exactly what I am doing. Offering a cup of tea. But in a more direct way than in a symbolic way. Because the symbolic can be misunderstood. It has been misunderstood. In every Zen monastery in China and in Japan, it has become a tradition. One Japanese young woman used to come to every celebration in the commune in America. Her mother is a very famous in arranging tea ceremonies. It has become a profession. There are few professionals who arrange the tea ceremony. And when I came back, she started to come here. Seeing that I am going to stay here, she wanted to stay here. She refused to go. Her mother came and she was a famous woman, had great contacts even with the Emperor of Japan. He brought the girl to me and said to me that you say to my girl to go back to Japan. I said, you are a famous woman, you must understand the essentials of Zen. The most essential is freedom. Now it is up to her. If she wants to go, I will not prevent her. If she does not want to go, I will not say to her to go. The woman became absolutely angry, freaked out. I said, this freaking will not help. She became so angry that she said, you are not a Buddha. I said, just because I am not sending your girl, I'll lose my Buddhahood. I can accept it that I am not a Buddha, but I cannot take away anybody's freedom. She was very much shocked. She said, I have so many contacts and I have promised to open a center for you in Tokyo. I said, all these bribes will not help. It is absolutely your girl's freedom to be here or not to be here. It is none of my concern whether she is here or she goes away. She must have force. She was a very strong woman. She must have forced for 3 days continuously. So the girl came to me to say that I am going in spite of myself. Just give me one of your robes. I gave her one of my robes and I told her, don't be worried. She will relax, and once in a while she will not object, you can come. But once she went away, the mother will not allow her, even for a holiday, to come. She escaped. I told her, this is not good. You should have told your mother that you are going. You should have shown your integrity. But like a thief, without telling anybody, you simply escaped. You will never be able to forgive yourself. You should better go. And unless you have guts to come with absolute declaration of your individuality, and you are old enough, you are not a child, but I came to know from Gita, who is a Japanese and has been here almost since eternity, as long as I remember, I have seen her here. She told that almost one third girls are prevented by their mothers even getting married. The mother is such a power in Japan that I had never known. One third of the girls remain unmarried just because the mother won't allow. So Gita told me that you are talking of freedom, and there is not even freedom to get married. But man is living with beautiful words, freedom, democracy, love, but all empty words. Civilization does not exist, culture does not exist, there is no independence in the world. My own experience has been absolutely bitter. The only freedom that I know is possible is to wake up and to know yourself and your roots in the existence. Except that all are political promises which are not going to be fulfilled ever. So only few people have lived freedom, like Gautam Buddha or Josu or Nansen. I would like you all to live the freedom. But I have to make a distinction clear to you. There are two kinds of freedom. One is freedom from, and another is freedom for. Freedom from is not very difficult. But the real freedom is freedom for some creativity, for some love, for some experience. The first freedom from is negative. It prepares the ground, but it is not all. The second is the real thing, freedom for. Creating yourself, discovering your Buddha, discovering your potentialities, releasing your own powers, living under the sky with a lion's roar, without any fear. But this is possible only to a man who has reached to his own sources. That's what we are trying to do in this place. Trying to discover the source from where you can have freedom from all bondages and for all creations. Ryusu wrote, "Quietly I watch spring clouds grow in the vast sky, green mountains and white hair on opposite sides of slattered bamboo blinds, a myriad miles of heaven and earth. With white blossoms, and all of them are falling in one Zen monk's eyes." Just the last line makes it a tremendously meaningful poem. Just the last line. In one Zen monk's eyes, thousands of flowers. When you enter in your subjectivity, you don't have two eyes. That's why in India they started talking about a third eye. That is a symbol only, but it has great meaning. As you go deeper inside, your two eyes join together into one force. That becomes your third eye. And in this third eye, with white blossoms, and all of them are falling in one Zen monk's eyes, Ryusu is surprised that I am a poor monk and so much beauty is falling, showering on me. Meditation makes even a beggar an emperor. And without meditation, even the emperor is just a beggar and nothing more. Manisha has asked, "Beloved Bhagwan, I heard you say during our meditation that the intensity of our effort would pull us towards our center. I have also heard you say that potential disciples are pulled magnetically towards the master. Is there a similarity and connection between these two things?" Manisha, they are not two things. It is the same energy. That brings you closer to the master. It is the same energy that will bring closer to yourself. In other words, To be closer to yourself is to be closer to the Master. They are not two things. The Master is at the center, and the moment you reach at the center, you are surprised. The Buddha has reached there before you. Every master is a Buddha, and every disciple is a potential Buddha. It is the same energy. Somewhere it has become manifest, somewhere it is still dormant, but there is no qualitative difference. Now it is time for Sardar Gurdayal Singh. Poor fellow has to wait too long. And he does not become enlightened for the fear that one never knows what jokes will be told when he is gone. These jokes are keeping him to this shore, otherwise he would have passed to the other shore long before. He is a very ancient man, retired from the army. But he is not going to leave. Till I continue telling jokes. Wu, the old Chinese waiter at the Mae Lang Dong Chinese restaurant, is always being teased by Colonel Wimple and his cronies whenever they come to eat. Finally, one day, as Wu is serving the dessert and coffee, Colonel Wimple leans back in his chair, puffs on his big cigar, and announces in a loud voice, "Okay, Chink, we have been teasing you for a long time now, so I guess from now on we will stop playing jokes on you. What do you say?" The wizened old waiter pauses for a moment, then says with a smile, "Okie dokie, you no jokey. Me no pee in the coffee." Katy the cannibal wanders out of the jungle and into the town. She does a little shopping and then stops at the cannibal butcher's store. "How much are brains today?" asks Katy. "Well," replies Butch, the cannibal butcher, pointing to his display self, "the missionary's brains are $10 a pound. the nuns' brains are $20 and the politicians' brains are $200. $200? Screams Katie. That is impossible. How can they be so expensive? Well, explains Butch, looking quite hurt. Have you any idea how many politicians we have to catch to find one with a brain? Never the know. Your eyes, feel your body to be completely frozen. Now look inwards with totality and great urgency, as if this is your last moment. Deeper and deeper, take your consciousness like a spear, piercing to the very center of being. This is space, is what we call the Buddha. This silence is what we call the Buddha. Just be a witness, because a Buddha is only a witness, only a mirror. You are not the body, you are not the mind, you are just the pure witness. At the very center of your being, utterly empty silence. To make it clear, Nivedana, relax and watch silently your transcendence to everything, the body, the mind, the world. You are beyond. You are the beyond, the transcendental consciousness. Rejoice those thousands of flowers have started showering on you. This beautiful evening has become a very mysterious and miraculous evening. 10,000 Buddhas are merged into an oceanic consciousness. This Buddha auditorium has become a lake of consciousness without any ripples. Gather as much of this experience, because soon Nivedana will call you back. You have to bring the Buddha to the circumference into your ordinary activities. In your day-to-day work, we are not renouncers of the world. We are going to be in the world and yet not allow the world in us. This is possible only if you are a witness. Live like a Buddha. The only thing to remember is just be a witness. The witness is the master key. Thousands of masters have come to the same conclusion, that to be at the center, just a witness, and you have become a Buddha, the awakened one. Then slowly, slowly, persuade the Buddha to come to your ordinary life. From the hidden sources, bring him to your extrovert activities. When the inner and the outer become one, the miracle has happened. Nivedana, come back, but come back like a Buddha, with the grace, with the silence, with the beauty, with the gratitude, sit silently for a few moments. Rejoicing this miraculous evening, remembering the path that you have followed to the center and back. This path has to be followed again and again. Slowly, slowly, that which is at the center will also spread all over your circumference. That day is the great day of celebration. Okay, Manisha?
Yes, Bhagwan.